Thank you for standing by, and welcome to today's release conference call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. There'll be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you'll need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise this conference is being recorded today, Friday, the 29th of October, 2010. And I would now like to hand the conference over to your presenter today, Mr. Jordi Molina. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, and good morning, everyone. This is Jordi Molina, Investor Relations. Thanks for joining us today to this event with regards to the release of the second Phase 3 U.S. trial of acrylidinium bromide. Joining us today in this event, we have Per-Olof Andersson, Chief Scientific Officer, and Eduardo Sanchez, Chief Financial Officer. I now hand over to Per-Olof for the opening remarks, and after that, we will open a Q&A session.
Thank you, Jordi, and good morning, everyone. So, as you have seen this morning, we released the top-line results of the second of three Phase 3 studies for Eclira BID monotherapy. Still ongoing is the third study called ATTAIN, which is a 800-patient study with 6 months duration, expected to be reported in the first quarter of next year. Pending the results of this study, Almire and Forest aim to file for approval in the European Union as well as the US in the middle of 2011. As you might also know, for the combination program, acrylidinium plus formoterol, two phase 2B studies are ongoing. They are fully recruited, and the results of both of these studies are expected to be released later this year. So with this, I'll hand back over to Jordi.
Thank you very much. Zarek, back to you for opening the Q&A, please.
We'll now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel the request, please press the hash key. Your first question comes from Joe German from Citi. Please ask your question.
Hi there, good morning. I'll ask a couple and then jump back in. Clearly the results of this study were somewhat different than the Accord 1 study that we saw earlier in the year. I know you're still analysing the trial, but what's your sort of first thoughts on what could be behind that? I presume you've at least seen sort of the baseline characteristics of the patients. Is there any difference there? Is there any difference in sort of concomitant drug use, for example? That's one. Secondly, are you able to share with us the effect on trofoam-CoV-1 at the 200 microgram bid dose in the trial, i.e. did you actually see a dose response in this trial? And thirdly, could you just talk about, you mentioned that the Phase 2B combo studies with formoterol that you've got ongoing. Would you be able to tell us what are the doses being tested in those trials, please?
Okay, Joe, good morning. So let me start with the ongoing evaluation of the current study. We are still analyzing, as you can understand, I saw the data yesterday. We are still analyzing a lot of this. There is a slight difference. How significant this is, we do not know, in the baseline characteristics between the dose groups. Other than that, what I can say, obviously, is that the bronchodilation is somewhat lower than we had hoped, but still within the range that has been seen with other bronchodilators, including Spiriva. So, you know, there is quite a large variability between studies, and this obviously is towards the low end of such a range.
Can I just ask about the... Is there any difference between, you talked about possible difference in baseline characteristics between the dose groups in this study. I was thinking more about characteristics in this study versus the Accord 1 study, where clearly you've got a much higher trough FEV1.
Yeah. In the overall population, there is basically no difference in the baseline characteristics between the two studies. Having said that, as I said, there is a difference between dosing groups that is unusual based on the size of this study. We don't exactly know whether or not that has influenced the results. With regard to the other results, I don't want to go outside of what we have released more than to say that the dose response seen is similar to what was seen in the previous study. Then, last question, if I remember correctly, is regarding the combination program.
Okay.
We have two studies, one based on 400 micrograms actinium and the other one based on 200 micrograms actinium. In both those studies, we are comparing then the fixed combination with formoterol 6 and formoterol 12 versus then, as I say, actinium, either 400 or 200, as well as formoterol.
Okay. Thank you. I'll jump back in and come on later if there's,
thanks,
there's time.
Your next question comes from Jo Walton from Credit Suisse. Please ask your question.
Hello?
Morning, Jo.
Sorry. You said that there was some sort of dose response. So if we look at the previous results, the 200 milligram has always been significantly less effective than the 400, the 200 micrograms, significantly less effective than the 400 micrograms. So would it be fair to us to assume that that was the same here, or was the dose response less marked this time round? Is there anything you can say about the secondary endpoints, the St. George's questionnaire score, for example? And will you be continuing to run this study? As I understand, it's 12 weeks active, and then you've got, 40 weeks of continuing everyone at the higher dose. Do you think that you'll have to wait, given the somewhat odd results of this, wait for the completion of this study, which wouldn't be until the middle of next year before you could file? Is there any risk that effectively you're going to have to delay your filing for this?
So first of all, as I said before, I don't want to go into data beyond what we have released, just a clarification with regard to dose response. These studies are not set up and powered to exactly show a statistically significant dose response, so you would not expect that between the dose groups. What I said is that the effect of the different doses is not different here in terms of the order of the doses than it was in the previous study. And this is something we have consistently seen also in the small study we reported in this press release, which is the 100, 200, 400 dose versus placebo.
Okay, and anything on the secondary endpoints?
No, as I say, I don't want to go beyond the data we have in the press release. With regard to the extension of the study to 40 weeks, that is obviously ongoing, and we will use the data from that part of the study for safety, and we will do a cutoff for safety in this study and another long-term study that is ongoing at the time when we will also get the results from the ongoing ATTAIN study. So we do not see this continuation as necessary for the filing. It will be, as I say, part of the data will be used for safety data and then later on for the U.S. file supplemented at the 120-day time point. But as you have seen in the press release, we reiterate our intention to file in the middle of 2011.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Maria Marin from BBVA. Please ask your question.
Hello, good morning. My first question is,
what is the efficacy level for the third trial, the ATTAIN trial, that would be necessary to have an approval product? My second question is, in the Spiriva approval process, I don't know if there were this kind of differences between the different trials, or were only in the long-term studies as uplift when the product was already approved?
So, thanks, Maria, for the questions. The first is difficult to answer. I mean, we hope and we think we have every reason to believe that the ATTAIN results will be within the range that we have seen in the majority of studies. That is in the range that we quoted for the three studies that we have apart from this. 125 or so to 180 milliliters. If you look at the Spiriva data, two things, and we have said this before, the studies used for filing of Spiriva handihaler were conducted more than 10 years ago. And therefore a little bit difficult to compare with modern studies. The range that we have seen published for clinical trials of similar duration, 3 months or so, for bronchodilators, not only Spiriva, but also long-acting beta agonists, range from around 50 up to 150 generally. For instance, in some of the Spiriva Respimat studies, one of the pivotal studies, the bronchodilation was, if I remember correctly, 74-75.
Mm-hmm. So I guess that with this efficacy of 72 milliliters, the third a trial that we expect will be released on January, then if the third trial is enough, then the company will file the product.
No, absolutely. I think we have every reason to believe that the package that we will have with three studies will be enough to support a filing based on those three studies. And say we now have a study that is at the low end of the range of expected values, and we don't believe that this will be repeated in the next study.
Okay, and my final question is not on acridinium, it's on lanreotide. It's only to have an estimation about the timing. When we could expect the lanreotide studies?
Well, we have said that those studies will be reported before the end of this year, and I cannot be more specific than that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from Ana Isabel Gonzalez from Casa Madrid Bolsa. Please ask your question.
Yes, hello everybody, good morning. I have a little question. What makes you feel so positive or so convinced regarding the future results of the ATTAIN study to be in line with the ones that you obtained already for in Accord COPD1 early this year? I have a second question also. It's related to, as you mentioned, the results that you got with this acridinium bromide with 400 micrograms, the 72 milliliters. Would it be that this drug in this particular dosage can compete then with the Spiriva? As you mentioned, that the results in the uplift study were around 74-75 milliliters. Thank you.
Well, what we have seen now, we have four studies that we have reported out already with actinium BID at the 400 microgram dose. Three of these studies are consistent and give a range of bunker adaptation FEV1 versus baseline of 125 to 180 milliliters. We then have this study, which is at the lower range of what I said has been seen with bronchodilators in general. And I think it is therefore more likely than not that the final study will be in that range that we have seen, not in this 72 ml range. Clinical development is this way, and sometimes you find a study that is an outlier. Hopefully this is not going to be repeated. So therefore we are convinced that with the three studies that we will have together, we will put together a package that will provide a good view of the bronchodilator potential of this drug.
Excuse me, does it mean that because the trial is longer than the previous one, the U.S. Trial, then the period of treatment of the patients has to do with the results that you will be getting?
No. Actinium acts very quickly, so you have the full effect the first day, and this effect is sustained over a 3 to 6 month period based on what we have in previous studies. So we do not believe that the study results will be any different between 3 months and 6 months in this particular study. And actually, for U.S. Filing purposes, also in this last study, the primary endpoint is at 3 months due to the request by the FDA.
Okay, and regarding the market positioning of the drug, would you presume that it can really compete with the Spiriva after the result, the 72 milliliters bronchodilatation that you obtained?
Well, if all the studies were at 72, we would not be very pleased. But I don't think that is where we will end up. And I think we will put this into perspective. What we have seen, and I think this is very, very important, when we have done a comparison in the same trial with another bronchodilator, and we have now here the tiotropium study that we referred to that we released some time ago, then the bronchodilatation in that study of actinium 400 is as good as or better than tiotropium. And we do not believe that this will not be possible to show again in the study. As I said, there are variabilities between studies, and obviously in this study we did not have a positive control, so we cannot say what in this patient population another bronchodilator would give us results. I hope that helps.
Yes, thank you. And just my very last question, are you aware about the results of Novartis indicatorol? I know it's not a LAMA, but I mean, are you aware about the bronchodilatation and the effects or the efficacy of the drug?
Yes, of course we are, yes.
And how would you position then your drug, actinium versus this one?
Well, I do not believe that there is much of a competition as such between the two classes. COPD patients are usually started with one or other bronchodilator, either a long-acting antimuscarinic or a long-acting beta agonist. And then later on, as their disease progresses, the two modalities are combined. This is also what we are trying to achieve with the combination program. So I don't think that there really is a direct competition between the two mechanisms. This is a choice based on other factors as well, such as tolerability, where we have a very, very good tolerability and safety profile. Also convenience with regard to the inhaler, where I think our inhaler has a number of features that would allow patients and physicians to prefer this over some of the alternatives that are on the market.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from Jamie Clark from Merrill Lynch. Please ask your question.
Hey, good morning. I've got three questions, please. Firstly, you said that the baseline characteristics of the Accord 2 study were in line with Accord 1. Can you just confirm that they're in line with those of Attain as well, and that generally the baseline characteristics of all studies are pretty similar? Secondly, you highlighted that data from modern studies differs from this Veriva pivotal studies, which were done 10 years ago. Can you just explain why you think that is? And thirdly, you've got three studies now with similar data. You've got three studies with similar data, then you have this study, which differs. If the other study, the Attain study, comes out looking like this study, how would you look at it, given that these are the two large studies and the other studies are smaller and shorter duration, and so you have the two main studies with basically inferior data to the others? How would you look at that, and how do you think regulators would look at that? I know that's obviously quite a difficult question for you. And the other alternative is that if the Attain study does perform as you expect and hope and does come out with good data, and it's just this one study that has relatively poor data, how would you look at it? How would you look at the totality of the data again? Thanks.
Well, first, with regard to this Spiriva data, and this is not only Spiriva, but we have seen this with other studies. Studies today are done with a slightly different patient population that were used in the original Spiriva studies, based on the fact, obviously, that in those days llamas were not available, and the patient population then today is a little bit different. So it is not unusual with better standard of care and better background medication and other treatments for the patients that the patients are a little bit better treated, and therefore the effect size perhaps is slightly lower. And I would refer then to a comparison between the Respimat package and the package that you saw for the approval, the original approval of the Handheim. With regard to the study results, just so everyone is aware, with regard to the size of the studies, the two Accord studies, Accord 1 that was reported before and Accord 2 are roughly the same size. They're 12-week studies with around 500-550 patients. The third study, Attain study, is a six-month study with more than 800 patients included. The baseline characteristics vary a little bit between the studies, but not they are not outside the range we have seen in other studies, such as studies reported here or reported previously for the once daily program. I don't really want to speculate with regard to the package put together depending on the outcome of the third study. Obviously, we would be much happier if we could repeat the first study rather than the results we have in this study. And as I said before, we think that that is highly likely based on the preponderance of the data we have today.
Brilliant, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Christina Quad from JB Capital Markets. Please ask your question.
Thank you. Just two clarifications. Just to make sure, the Accord trials and the Attain trials, the baseline patients are not treated with tiotropium, no?
No. No. What is allowed is inhaled corticosteroids and rescue medication with short-acting beta agonists.
Okay. And if you could explain, just to my understanding, the phase 2 trial with the Eclair versus Spiriva,
mm-hmm.
The outcome then, I understood that the outcome above baseline was 100 milliliters. Is that correctly understood or misunderstood? micrograms.
The effect size in this comparative study, I think, is around 125 milliliters.
That's the core study, no?
Well, this is within that range. Unfortunately, I don't have this in front of me.
Hold on 1 second, please.
The reason I'm asking is because I thought it was 100 milliliters, and therefore the range you're talking about in the three earlier studies are starting at 100, not 124 milliliters.
Sorry, I just had to check some facts. There are too many studies here, so in the tiotropium comparison study, the bronchodilation was 186 ml versus baseline.
186.
Yes.
And then the baseline was 43. No. Is that correctly?
We have not given baseline data, and. No, so 43 is not correct. I mean, what we give is change versus baseline, and that is 186 milliliters in this case.
Okay.
The baseline data in these trials vary between 1.1 and 1.4 liters, 1.5 liters, yeah, roughly, depending on the patient population.
Okay. And you're saying you're not going to let us know the size of the improvement in the clear versus formidable study that you are sort of alluding to in this release, no?
Well, what we have said is that this is in the range, actually in the middle of the range that we gave, 124 to 186.
Yeah. Okay. And one last question: are you planning on doing, or are you already doing, studies that will determine the effect on exacerbations for this year?
We have exacerbation endpoints included in the trials, but the trials as such, even the 6-month duration trials, are unlikely to give you an outcome of exacerbation. What we will then do as well is we will do a pooled analysis of the data set of the three long-term studies and use that. We have not intended now to include exacerbation as an endpoint for the filing.
And are there other studies ongoing that would address this, more longer-term studies to address this, or?
We have, obviously, some of this data is possible to get a secondary data from the combination program that will go into phase 3 during next year. So we aim to look at it in that context.
In the combination context. Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
You have a follow-up question from Joe Walton from Credit Suisse. Please ask your question.
Just to confirm, when you're expecting to publish the full results of this, is it going to be ATS next year?
No, it is not going to be ATS next year, for a very simple reason that the deadline is, I think, next week, so we are not able to do that. We have not decided, together with Forrest, this is a U.S. study, so we have to rely on Forrest here to determine more precisely when we're going to release and where.
But it's possible that investors won't have seen the full data set before the product is filed. So, you know, we're unlikely to accord it the usual probability of success for a filed drug because we won't have seen the data before it's filed.
Well, that's a different story. I mean, we can obviously, and we have not discussed this, we can obviously release more data to the public, but what I was referring to is the presentations at the scientific conference.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, thank you all. Thanks very much for your presence and interest this morning, and have a good day. Thanks.